Our sermon reading this morning comes from Ibu Patel and his book, Acts of Faith, The Story of an American Muslim. It's from the introduction to the book. Change happens internally before it takes place in the world. My transformation was catalyzed by a moment of failure. In high school, the group I ate lunch with included a Cuban Jew, a Nigerian evangelical, and an Indian Hindu. We were all devout to a degree, but we almost never talked about our religions with one another. Often somebody would announce at the table that he couldn't eat a certain kind of food, or any food at all, for a period of time. We all knew religion hovered behind this, but nobody ever offered any explanation deeper than my mom said, and nobody ever asked for one. This silent pact relieved all of us. We were not equipped with a language that allowed us to explain our faith to others or to ask about anyone else's. Back then, I thought little about the dangers lurking within this absence. A few years after we graduated, my Jewish friend reminded me of a dark time during our adolescence. There were a group of kids in our high school who, for several weeks, took up scrawling anti-Semitic slurs on classroom desks and making obscene statements about Jews in the hallways. I did not confront them. I did not comfort my Jewish friend. I knew little about what Judaism meant to him, less about the emotional effects of anti-Semitism, and next to nothing about how to stop religious bigotry. So I averted my eyes and avoided my friend because I couldn't stand to face him. A few years later, he described to me the fear he had experienced coming to school those days, and his utter loneliness as he had watched his close friends simply stand by. Hearing him recount his suffering and my complicity is the single most humiliating experience of my life. I did not know it in high school, but my silence was betrayal. Betrayal of Islam, which calls upon Muslims to be courageous and compassionate in the face of injustice. Betrayal of America, a nation that relies on its citizens to hold up the bridges of pluralism when others try to destroy them. Betrayal of India, a country that has too often seen blood flow in its cities and villages when extremists target minorities and others fail to protect them. My friend needed more than my silent presence at the lunch table. Patel concludes the introduction to Acts of Faith saying this: "This is the story of returning to faith, of finding coherence, of committing to pluralism, and of the influences I owe my life to." And that's what the rest of his book is devoted to. For those who are raised in Unitarian Universalist communities, Unitarian Universalist values are in their DNA. For those who come to Unitarian Universalism from other religious traditions or none, Unitarian Universalist values are typically an expression of what they already believe. In a sense, UU is in their blood too. Those newer to Unitarian Universalism express this as the experience of discovering that they were Unitarian Universalist all along, but didn't know it. Any of you in that category? Or as a feeling of coming home Anybody in that category as well? So whether raised inside or outside Unitarian Universalist communities, for those who become members, UU is part of who they are, part of who we are. It becomes part of their identity. And yet, there's this curious thing. Claiming this identity can be another matter, quite different from that feeling of coming home, or that feeling that we've been Unitarian Universalist all along, or that it's in our blood. Anyone who has tried to explain Unitarian Universalism to someone else soon learns the challenges. We do religion differently from more orthodox traditions. There's no single sacred source and no shared creed. There aren't rigid dogmas or absolutes or commandments. There is no one way to express what we value. Part of our Unitarian Universalist religion is its openness. This is the part that often confuses people, including Unitarian Universalists. It's a beautiful and freeing aspect of this faith. It's also part of why we can find ourselves deeply challenged to articulate our Unitarian Universalist identity. It isn't automatic. Have you figured that out? It isn't automatic. You don't just wake up one day and can just say what this faith is exactly. Unitarian Universalism doesn't offer easy, direct answers. Instead, it asks us each to define our spiritual path. Unitarian Universalism doesn't hand us a set of ready-made beliefs, nor does our faith stay the same over time. Instead, we must each do the work of examining our Unitarian Universalist identity on a regular basis. This examination and this reflection is first and foremost for ourselves, for our own healing, our own well-being, our understanding, and our enlightenment. What I'm talking about is taking our faith to heart in order to function wholeheartedly in the world with a strong foundation of our values, of what we believe. This requires that we take our faith seriously and that we spend time understanding what it means to us to be Unitarian Universalist. This means understanding our core UU values and beliefs and also being able to articulate how they translate into everyday life. Think about it just for a moment, and then continue thinking about it. How is Unitarian Universalism part of your identity? What does it mean to you to say, "I'm a Unitarian Universalist"? What does that look like in how you live your life every day? There's an often quoted challenge attributed to Reverend Dr. Harry Meserve. He asked, "If you were arrested for being a Unitarian Universalist, would there be enough evidence to convict?" Gives me pause sometimes. What this quote means to me is that religion isn't meant to be separate from the rest of our lives. It isn't a Sunday morning thing. It's meant to inform who we are and how we are. And if it doesn't, if those around us, and if our world aren't aware of or touched or impacted in some way by our beliefs, by our Unitarian Universalist faith, then something is out of sync. If we aren't sure what our values are or what our religion means to us when events happen in our lives, we aren't likely to be able to respond or respond well to them. We won't have the tools we need in a time of what might be our greatest need. And those tools, of course, include our principles and our sources. They aren't creeds or commandments, and they aren't a set of ideas that we are meant to memorize. You can if you want to. But what we're asked to do is to engage with those principles and sources and to consider what they mean to us and what it means to live from them. Our principles of human worth and dignity, equity, compassion, acceptance and growth, truth-seeking and meaning-making, the right of conscience, peace-seeking and world community, and interconnectedness are values we can draw on. But we have to know what they mean to us. Our sources of sacred experiences of wonder and awe, of prophetic words and deeds, world wisdom, God's love, reason, and science, and earth-centered spirituality are the core traditions we can draw from. But there too, in order to do that, we must know what that means to us. These principles and sources, along with the rituals and the relational nature of our spiritual communities, are there to offer us solace, encouragement, strength, hope, courage, and the call to justice if we learn to claim them and to make them our own. Ibu Patel's story reflects the power of claiming one's religious identity. He was raised in Chicago in a Muslim family that had immigrated from India. Patel captures a pivotal moment of failure. As a young person, he was unable to articulate his faith. This caused a Jewish friend of his tremendous pain. It was a betrayal. He remained silent. He says, "We were not equipped with a language that allowed us to explain our faith to others or to ask about anyone else's. Back then," he says, "I thought little about the dangers lurking within this absence." For Patel, it was one of the greatest failures of his life that he remained silent while his friend endured anti-Semitism. When he reconnected to his own Islamic faith, Patel recognized that his silence was a deep betrayal of his friend, of himself, and of his own Muslim faith and identity. He had failed to live his faith, which called him to be courageous and compassionate in the face of injustice. He had failed, he says, to commit to faith and social action. There was not enough evidence of his religious identity in the way he was living and acting. He had not claimed the grounding, the roots on which he might have relied for compassion and justice in an oppressive circumstance. Ultimately, his failure was a moment of enlightenment that led him back to Islam and back to values that would allow him then to move forward and to embrace interfaith and justice work. The story of Mary Ellen Geese, a Unitarian Universalist, reflects a similar kind of religious identity crisis. Her religious identity crisis left her at a crossroads. She found herself in a critical moment being unable to claim and draw on her roots of faith. She was raised in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. And she says that during college, she had an experience that challenged her faith. She came face to face with very conservative Christianity in both her friends and in pro-life demonstrations. And she describes a particular day, and she says of it that there were two men who were on campus. They were holding signs listing all people who were condemned to hell. Muslims, feminists, Jews, Democrats. The list went on and on. She says, "I was shocked, hurt, humiliated, and angry. I saw myself on that list And not only that, I saw people I cared about. Furthermore, I didn't feel that I had a strong response to their argument. I had never been forced to defend my own beliefs before. She also found herself questioning whether religion itself is dangerous. With the help of a campus minister, who she says was adamant that the kind of Christianity that she saw on campus was not representative of all religious belief or even all Christian belief, she was able to reflect on the complexities of religion and religious belief. And this caused her to re-examine her own beliefs. She says she was able to reclaim her Unitarian Universalist identity, which transformed her into a more understanding person and has become a real source of strength in her life. Isn't that what we want from our religion? That it be a source of strength in our lives, a source of understanding? This experience ultimately helped Mary Ellen Geese take pride in her religious roots as a Unitarian Universalist and to draw on those roots fully. Her story demonstrates the strength and the pride that can come from claiming one's religious identity, just as Paddle's experience did. Ultimately, being able to claim and articulate their religious values made it possible for them to assess and navigate challenging ethical and unjust situations. Doing that work of understanding our own religious tradition means that we too can acquire that kind of strength and grounding that we need in our lives. It can give us the rootedness that enables us to act in the world in ways that are consistent with what matters most to us, with what we say matters most to us. So Unitarian Universalism can root us in those times of crisis and heartache. It can offer us courage and hope to frame an understanding and a response when hundreds of Christians are killed in bombings in Sri Lanka, when Jewish worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue are killed, when historically black churches are burned in Louisiana, when immigrants are locked up in detention, when young African-American men are shot by police, when transgender people are banned from military service, when the opioid crisis continues to escalate, as millennials are overwhelmed with burgeoning debt and economic issues, when climate change and deregulation devastate our environment, and when there is loss, depression, broken relationships and other heartaches in our personal lives. There's another important piece here in what Unitarian Universalism offers us as roots. UU offers us roots in the celebratory parts of life as well. Our faith is rooted in joy. Part of being a Unitarian Universalist has to do with our commitment to beauty, to appreciation, to enlightenment, to wonder, celebration, love, hope, joy. And it reminds us, and this is so important, it's become more and more important to me when I watch these terrible events in our world. It reminds us that even amid tragedy, that this life is still beautiful and worth living. That's why we celebrate the human spirit. It's why we affirm the worth and dignity of every person. We honor births, graduations, retirements, weddings, and the lives of those who have died. We celebrate the cycles of nature, the magnificence of the universe, the awesomeness of the divine. the mysteries of life, the unfolding of wisdom, the achievements of science, and the creativity of art and literature and music. We celebrate pluralism and diversity. We celebrate the cultivation of the mind and the body and the spirit. Our ideas, our physicality, and our spirituality are honored as integral aspects of our faith. I haven't said much about the wings of our faith. For me, the wings are the ways that Unitarian Universalism changes over time and encourages us to change and grow. We are not expected to stay the same. We are expected even to believe the same way our whole lives. Revelation, we say, is not sealed. As new learning occurs, whether individually or collectively, as a spiritual community or as a society, we weave that in. As we learn more through science about the universe and about our own minds, as we learn more about what it means to be a truly inclusive community, and as we confront the challenges of our age, our religion changes to reflect what we have responsibly learned as truth. The wings of our faith have meant that we have incorporated new understandings of the divine into our religion, expanding our conception of the sacred and bringing many names for God as well as none, the old names as well as new names. This is why we call it a living tradition, because it is lived and evolving. It has wings as well as roots. The work of claiming our faith and allowing it to have those wings is lifelong work. It's a lifelong journey. And in the words of our UU song that we sang earlier, roots hold me close, wings set me free. What are your UU roots? I hope you will take some time to really reflect on this question, to name those roots for yourself, so that when you encounter a situation, you can draw on that wisdom. What are your UU wings? I hope you will reflect on that as well. We need both roots and wings if we are to be whole. We need to know who we are as Unitarian Universalists and what it means to us to say, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. We need to know for ourselves, and we also need to know so that we can share it with the world. We need to be open to sharing, to knowing, to embracing our roots, and to spreading our wings to the ever unfolding nature of the cosmos. May it be so. Amen. And blessed be. Let us join now in our closing hymn, Bring Many Names. It's number 23 in your gray hymnal. Our guitars and Jane Rohrbach will lead us in song.
Like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.